present The Lady in the Lake by Raymond Chandler, dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison, starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. The Lady in the Lake, Part 3. California, 1943.
DeRace Kingsley was in deep trouble. He was in love with his secretary, Adrian Fromsett, and his wife, Crystal, was missing. Now, she was the prime suspect in the murder of a man called Lavery. I had to find her. But it wasn't a simple murder. It had its roots deep in the past, in the killing of a doctor's wife, a police cover-up, and the drowning of a woman identified as Mildred Haviland, who had once been the wife of a cop called Al DeGarmo.
Marlowe.
It's almost midnight. Where the hell have you been?
Kingsley?
Yes. I've been trying to reach you for hours.
Oh, I'm here now. What is it?
I've heard from Crystal.
When?
Can you be at my place in 5 minutes?
I'm on my way.
Where were you?
In jail. Good evening, Miss Fromsett.
You look bad, Marlowe. What happened to you?
The Bay City Police gave me a little present.
Well, you'll have to go back there right now. Now, here. Take this $500 to Crystal. She has to get out of that town.
Has her own bank account got locked, you all?
Well, she's in trouble. Now, she said she'd meet whoever was bringing the money in the Crystal Lounge on 8th Street.
Well, what else did she say?
I talked to her when she called. DeRace was being interviewed by the police. I asked if he could call her back, but she wouldn't give a number.
I don't want to talk to her or even see her. I guess she must be guilty.
Maybe. I don't like her knowing the cops are after her. Was she listening to the police shortwave just for amusement?
When she called back, she asked for money.
Did she sound scared?
No, completely calm. She had it all worked out. She said she'd come in the lounge every hour and asked who would bring the money. I guess I assumed it would be you, so I described you and said you'd wear this yellow scarf at DeRace's. It's sort of conspicuous.
You've got a hell of a crust, Kingsley. Assuming I'll take a getaway stake to somebody the police are after.
I admit it's a bit thick, but will you do it?
It could make us all accessories to murder.
She may not have done anything.
I'm willing to suppose that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you. But if I then decide she has, I'll turn her in.
She won't talk to you.
She will. She wants this money.
There's another thing. She's dyed her hair brown.
Try to help her if you can. You're a pretty level guy, Marlowe.
Tell that to the cops in Bay City. I have to go back there. And you can see this scarf a mile away. Were you blind when you bought it?
May I sit down?
Sure, lady.
Do you have something for me?
Depends who you are.
You know who I am, Mr. Yellow Scarf. How much did you bring?
500.
Not nearly enough.
It was all he could raise.
I've been waiting here an eternity. It's after 1 a.m.
You're pretty cool.
Don't waste my time.
Not like I heard about you.
Give me the money.
Talk first.
We don't have to talk.
I'm taking quite a risk.
Why couldn't they do it right?
You have to talk to me or the law.
Who are you?
A private detective.
Isn't my dear husband charming?
It wasn't easy for him to know what to do.
Just give me the money.
No talk, no money.
What do you want to know?
Where you've been, what you expect to do.
Let me work things out for myself.
No talk, no money.
Not here. I'm at the Granada Hotel, room 618. It's 2 blocks north. Give me 2 minutes. Then follow me. Help yourself.
Thanks. You know, I had quite a different impression of you from Kingsley and Lavery, too.
I've dyed my hair.
It makes quite a difference.
You were hired to look for me. You found me. Get on with it.
You sent a wire from El Paso. Did you marry Lavery?
I changed my mind. I sent him away.
What did you do then?
I went to Santa Barbara for a week, then Pasadena, then Hollywood, then here.
Alone?
Yes.
What was the idea?
I had to think things out. My life was in a hopeless tangle.
You spent a month at Little Fawn Lake trying to do that.
I guess I needed more time. Please, won't you give me the money and go away?
Did you come here to see Lavery?
I'm in love with him, and yet I don't want to marry him. I told you, I'm all mixed up.
Yeah. No other reason for leaving the lake? Muriel Chess, for instance?
Her? Why?
Bill Chess claims you invited him in to help pass the lonely hours.
Oh, that drunk?
And now Muriel has been found drowned in the lake. Probably drowned the night you left.
My God, I'm not too surprised. So it came to that in the end.
What?
Oh, they fought terribly at times. I had nothing to do with it at all.
Doesn't seem to bother you much.
I hardly knew Muriel.
Didn't you know her as Mildred?
Hmm?
Didn't you recognize her as Dr. Almore's nurse? You were his patient.
Only for a while, and he always came to the house.
Muriel Chess was Mildred Haviland, his office nurse.
Was she? What a queer coincidence.
Didn't Lavery recognize her when he was up at the lake?
He never gave any sign that he did. Perhaps she stayed away from him. I hardly spoke to her. Poor Mildred.
Yeah. You know, you did the Mrs. Fallbrook character very well.
Hmm?
Looking back, I think it was a shade overdone, but I fell for it. It was when you put the gun in my hand. That convinced me. But why take the risk of going back to Lavery's place in broad daylight?
You think I shot him?
I know you did.
He had all my money. He stripped my purse. It wasn't a risk. I disguised myself a little, went there, took in the milk and papers, all very normal. People lose their heads in these situations, but I don't. I don't see why I should. It's much safer not to.
People have been making a bad mistake about you.
Really?
They've been thinking of you as reckless, with no brains. So, you shot him the night before. I should have thought of that. He would shave at night for his lady friends.
What are you going to do about it?
Turn you over to the police with pleasure.
I gave you an empty gun that day. I could afford to. I have another one here.
I never liked this scene. Detective confronts murderer. Murderer produces gun, points same at detective, tells him the whole sad story with the idea of shooting him at the end of it, thus wasting a lot of valuable time. The gods don't like the scene either. They always manage to spoil it.
I have no story to tell you. You don't seem to be afraid.
You'll probably miss me. You missed Lavery 3 times.
I won't. I'm going to be too close to miss. This close. Hold your hands up by your shoulders and then don't move at all.
Are you going to search me? I haven't got a gun. You don't know much about them, do you? What with your bad aim and standing far too close to me, and though I hate to bring it up, you've forgotten to take the safety catch off.
What? Oh, you bastard! You!
I told you the gods didn't like this scene. Leave the gun on the floor, lady. Let's talk some more. Lady with a gun, and somebody hit you from behind. Where did he come from? Man, you stink of gin. They poured gin on you. Oh. In a hotel room, a girl that had been blonde with hair dyed brown. I'm not wearing all my clothes or my shoes. Where is she? Oh, Jesus. Marlowe, you have been set up. She is on the bed. She is naked, except for tan stockings, and they make her seem more naked. And she has been strangled. And she has 4 deep scratches on her belly, gouged by 4 bitter fingernails. I gotta get out. Gotta get my coat on. Gotta put on my shoes. What do I have to remember? I must remember the scarf, the yellow scarf, and the money. The money. Where's the envelope with the money?
When are they coming to get me? And can I get out first?
Open up! This is the police! Open up or we kick it in! Hold it right there. Well, I'm Diane. Marlowe. A sex killer.
DeGarmo, you can't... You won't get away with this. Not even if you took me down to City Hall instead of driving me up here into the hills.
I've got nothing to lose. Weber suspended me.
How did you know I was in that hotel room with her?
A call came in. I was hanging around a headquarters. Some guy disguised his voice and didn't give a name. I got there first. Hey, you got a real bump on the back of your head.
I was sapped. What do you want, DeGarmo?
Let's hear you talk, Marlowe. Maybe we can work this out. Smoke?
Thanks. Weber's only one jump behind us.
To hell with Weber. If I can crack this Lavery case, I'll get by with a reprimand. If I don't, I'll be thumbing a ride out of town. Help me. Tell me what you know.
Okay. Kingsley told me he got a call from his wife.
Uh-huh.
She wanted money. He sent me to give it to her.
Money? For a getaway? He knew she was wanted in connection with Lavery's murder. So did you.
I wanted to talk to her. I met her in the Crystal Lounge. Her hair was dyed. I didn't recognize her, but I had only seen a photograph. I said talk or no money. So we went to that hotel. She went first, alone.
Time for her guy to plant himself behind the curtains and wait.
He was behind the curtains, but I'm not sure she knew about it.
No? Got any kind of a look at him?
No.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I think she knew.
Maybe. I found this yellow scarf lying among the clothes.
You think the guy dropped it?
I've seen Kingsley wear it.
Kingsley? Well, I'm damned. Now, why would Kingsley kill her?
She was cheating on him, making trouble. She had money, he didn't. He wanted to marry his secretary. And what if Lavery's murder wasn't proved against her, and she got off to make more trouble? Also, there was a chance to set me up as the goat.
Where's Kingsley's place?
Beverly Hills.
He better be there. And he better be able to account for where he's been tonight. Keep that scarf in your pocket till we want to spring in on him.
Whatever you say, Lieutenant.
One moment, please, gentlemen. Whom did you wish to see?
Did he say whom?
Yeah, but don't hit him. There is such a word.
I knew there was. I often wondered where they kept it. We want apartment 716, Miss Fromstead. Any objections?
I most certainly have. We don't announce guests at 23 minutes past 4 in the morning.
That's what I thought, so I wasn't going to bother you. I'm a police lieutenant. Here's the badge.
Oh, very well. I hope there isn't going to be any trouble. I'd better announce you then.
Do that. Marlowe, you think you'd be here?
He wasn't at his home.
Miss Fonson, it's the desk. Two gentlemen.
Lieutenant DeGarmo and Mr. Marlowe.
Lieutenant DeGarmo.
Would this dame cover for him?
I don't know.
Well, very well, Miss Fonson. I'll send them up. She will receive you.
Thanks, sweetheart. She must have been awake. At 24 past 4 in the morning.
Durace isn't here. He hasn't been.
Do you know where we might find him?
Isn't that urgent?
Something has happened, Miss Fromsett.
What?
She's been murdered.
Murdered?
So just tell us where he is, sister.
I suppose I ought to cry or something, but I don't seem to feel anything at all.
You can understand why Kingsley has to be found.
Why?
Skip the attitudes. Maybe you think we should keep it a secret from him.
Is it just because he has to be told?
He wasn't at his house. This scarf was found in the hotel room where she was murdered. I think you have seen it, haven't you? Just tell me that you have.
You ask for a great deal of confidence, Mr. Marlowe, considering that you haven't been such a smart detective.
I ask you for that confidence. I expect to get it. And how smart I've been is something you don't really know anything about. Is it Kingsley's scarf?
Yes, you know it is.
Oh, this is cute. You two make a nice team. All you need is acrobats to follow you.
How was she murdered?
Stripped naked, scratched up, and strangled.
Durace wouldn't have done anything like that.
Sister, nobody ever knows what anybody else will do. Where is he?
He didn't bring me home. I took a taxi about 5 minutes after Mr. Marlowe left.
Well, usually the bim tries to give her boyfriend a bit more alibi than that.
He wanted to bring me home, but we were both tired. He doesn't need an alibi. He couldn't have known where to go, what hotel she was in.
He had the time.
Is this the kind of confidence you ask for?
We're getting nowhere. Let's go.
I'm not finished. If Kingsley had something on his mind, where might he go to be quiet to figure it out?
He wouldn't run away.
But he might want time to himself.
You're getting nowhere. Let's go.
Let me use your phone.
It's there.
Hold it. Tell me who you're calling.
Operator, I want a person-to-person call to Constable Jim Patton at Puma Point. It's urgent.
Who's running this show?
I am. This is Tunbridge 2722. Unless you want the L.A. police to run it, you have no jurisdiction outside Bay City.
Well, what's at Puma Point?
Kingsley has a cabin up there. I'm going to ask Patton to go over there and see if he can spot him. He's no cold killer. I think he might give himself up soon. It would look better for you if you got to him before he did.
Make the call. We'll go up there. You and me. What the hell are we stopping for?
They've got sentries guarding the Puma Lake Dam.
Against what?
Submarines. There's a war on, haven't you heard?
That doesn't bother me just now. I want this case finished. Closed. Dead.
Close all the windows of your car before proceeding across the dam, please.
Forget it, buddy. Let us through. I'm a police officer.
Close all the windows, please, sir.
Nuts to you, soldier boy.
Look, I didn't write any orders, mister. I just obey them. Up with the windows.
They give kids rifles. They think they're God Almighty. Three of them sitting along this dam. All linked up by phone. Think they're big shots. That was my girl that drowned up at Little Fawn Lake. I haven't been writing. All I can see is red.
We have to leave the car and walk to the lake from here. Patton will be waiting. He said Kingsley was inside the cabin. What's that?
A .38 Smith & Wesson and a .44 frame?
He's not that kind of tough. It's not a tiger hunt. You won't need the artillery.
Are you carrying a gun, Marlowe?
No.
Good. This is enough gun for both of us.
Oh, you are a little crazy, DeGarmo.
What do you mean?
You made enough trouble. It all goes back to Florence Almore. She didn't get up and walk down to that garage to commit suicide. She was carried. Almore gave her an injection which made her sleep, but he didn't murder her. Morphine would be the last thing a doctor like him would use. Somebody else who had access to the stuff gave her another jab. When Almore came back, he got scared and carried her down to breathe in monoxide.
How did you ever manage to live so long, Marlowe?
By not getting too much afraid of professional hard guys. Almore is guilty, but as a practical matter, you know his nurse, Mildred Haviland, killed her. She was playing house with Almore. She wanted the money. She wanted to make it permanent. You know all this because you covered it up.
She came to me. She still needed me.
You covered it up. But you made sure to scare her out of town after it. Out of reach. Out of danger. You were getting away with it. Why did you come up to Puma Point looking for her?
How did I know where to look?
I think she still wanted money. Wanted it badly. She must have been sick of Bill Chess. Did she write to Almore asking for money? Did he send you to scare her again?
That makes no difference now. She's dead. I loved her. I would do the same again.
Yeah. I'm just telling you all this so that you won't hang the murder of the lady in the lake or anything else on Kingsley that doesn't belong to him.
One murder does.
If it does, I'll help you hang it on him. Let's find Patton and get into the cabin.
Mr. Kingsley. Mr. Kingsley. Huh? I gotta talk to you a little. Kingsley.
What? Marlowe. Who are these people?
This is Constable Patton.
Yes, I know.
And this is Lieutenant DeGarmo from Bay City. He has to talk to you.
I must have fallen asleep. I got drunk. I've been asleep.
Your wife is dead, Kingsley.
Dead?
Last night. I don't suppose that's news to you. Show him the yellow scarf, Marlowe. Careless of you to leave that behind you.
Leave it? Leave it where?
In the hotel room where your wife was strangled.
The lieutenant considers this scarf as evidence that you were hidden in the room, knocked me out, and then killed your wife.
We also know you've no alibi for last night.
I came up here.
By way of Bay City?
Marlowe was taking care of all that.
Is the scarf yours?
Yes, but I gave it to Marlowe. He was wearing it so that my wife would recognize it.
I don't get this. I don't get this at all. Is somebody kidding me, Marlowe?
All I ever said was that the scarf was in the room and that it belonged to Kingsley. You didn't seem to want to know anymore.
Jesus, what a sucker I've been. How much are you getting paid to cover up Kingsley's murders, Marlowe?
He's getting paid to prove my wife didn't murder Chris Lavery.
Too bad he can't.
I've already earned my money.
You care to prove all this, son? I've heard a lot of talk, but it don't sound like evidence.
Crystal Kingsley could not have shot Lavery because Crystal Kingsley had been dead for a month, drowned in Little Fawn Lake by Mildred Haviland. She was the woman I met last night, the woman DeGarmo found dead in the hotel.
But don't you think Bill Chess would know his own wife?
The body was in the water a month, had blonde hair, wore his wife's clothes and jewelry. She left a note and her car and clothes were gone.
Yeah, I should have thought of that myself. They were lookalikes.
We had no reason to be suspicious. As far as we knew, Mrs. Kingsley left her car in San Bernardino and went to El Paso. It could have been a year before we even found the body. Muriel could have run off, as the note said. You might have put both in the missing persons file unsolved, except for Lavery.
Why did she kill him?
He was on his way up to the lake to see Crystal, and he bumped into Mildred, wearing Crystal's clothes at the Prescott Hotel. She got him to stay with her, but he had to die.
Well, for God's sake, why did Crystal have to die?
Money. Mildred needed money. She had killed for it before, and the Bay City cop she had been married to was fool enough to cover up for her. She ended up here, but she needed money to get out, so she tried Almore again. But he sent DeGarmo up to look for her, and that scared her, because DeGarmo is the sort of fellow you can never quite be sure of.
The sands are running out against you, Marlowe.
I'll say what I have to say. When Crystal decided she was bored and gave Bill Chess a whirl, it gave Mildred her opportunity. She was a nurse. She could handle a body. She was a good swimmer, too.
Yeah, it could be done. So she hid the car.
It had to be someone who knew the country. Then she ran into her first snag, Lavery. I met her there after she killed him and didn't know. She was quite an actress.
Yeah, but who killed her last night?
She was killed by somebody who thought she needed killing. Somebody who loved her and hated her. Somebody who was a good enough cop to find her. A good enough cop to stand completely still behind a curtain, and too much of a cop to let her get away with murder. But stupid. Stupid enough to look for a fall guy, and stupid enough to look too fast. You've been a little crazy, DeGarmo.
I know you haven't got a gun, Marlowe. Patton has. But I don't think he'll have the swift to reach it. You're a fat old man, Patton. You'd be an easy target.
Not fat, just well covered.
This thing will blow a hole in the wall. You're just making guesses, Marlowe. What's your evidence?
Under your fingernails. She was stripped and raked with scratches. The way a man might do to a woman who made a small private hell for him and wouldn't let him alone.
I want to get out of here. Not very far, maybe. But by myself. Any objections?
Can't be done. You know I can't just let you walk out. It's my duty to take you.
How do you figure to do it?
I don't know, son. I don't want no holes in my belly, but this is my territory.
Let him leave. He can't get out of these mountains. That's why I brought him up here.
Look, I'll tell you what I'll do, Patton. I'll put the scumbag under my arm, and we'll start from scratch.
I'm sitting down, and I ain't as fast as you. All this ain't my trouble, and look at the jam I'm in.
I like you, Patton.
You gave me a break. You shouldn't ever give a man like me a break. I've been a shooter more years than you've been alive, son. The arm ain't too bad, is it now?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I'll be going now.
Don't do that.
I'm going to walk out that door. There's only one way to stop me. So long, Fatty.
He'll take my car.
Well, he gave me a break. I guess I owe him one. There's only one way out of these mountains, and that's across the dam. There's three armed sentries on it. All we need to do is get to a telephone.
He may not go that far.
He won't kill himself. He wants that done for him.
Another of your simple observations about human nature?
Well, you took a lot of risk with him.
A lady had confidence in
him. I don't suppose you'd ever let a lady down, son.
I don't suppose.
Tell you what's going to give me a lot of pleasure. Letting Bill Chess out of jail.
And winning the election on the strength of it.
Now, you know I'm too old to go to work, son.
The way the sergeant of the guard told it, DeGarmo ignored the first sentry. And when the one in the center of the dam tried to stop him, he drove straight at him till he had to jump for his life. By that time, they had signaled to the last sentry. They had their orders. The orders said in a case like this, they were to shoot. The last sentry shot. And DeGarmo saw nothing but red as the car swerved off the top of the dam and went plunging down into the deep green lake. There was a war on all over the world.
In Bill Morrison's radio adaptation of Raymond Chandler's novel, The Lady in the Lake, Ed Bishop played the part of Philip Marlowe, with Harry Taub as Lieutenant DeGarmo and Toby Robbins as Mildred Haviland. Adrienne Fromsett was played by Margaret Robertson. DeRace Kingsley, Don Fellows. Bill Chess, Paul Maxwell. Constable Patton, Ramsey Williams. Captain Weber, William Roberts. Chris Lavery, Peter Marinker. Bertie Keppel, Nicolette McKenzie. Mrs. Tally, Tucker McGuire. Tex and the Foreman, Paul Meyer. Dobbs, Bruce Beebe. Cooney, Michael Harbor, and the hotel clerk, Kenneth Shanley. The music consultant was Adrian Edwards. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.